Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on this Friday, January 3rd, wishing you a happy new year amidst the apocalyptic pathos. Patrick Slattery will join me after a very, very brief news summary. By the way, in terms of topics, today we have New Orleans and Vegas. Is the FBI telling the truth? Don't bet on it. Russian-Ukrainian war, brief reference made to that. Syria. We'll be talking about a couple of things related to Syria, including a couple of excellent posts, a 52-minute conversation between myself and an independent young lady of Iranian journalistic background who called me from Tehran on New Year's Eve. And we had an excellent conversation on Syria. Much of that conversation was based on a press television article, which is also in your roadmap. We posted the complete 52-minute interview for you on VKontakte. Therefore, if you've got 52 minutes to spare in between football games, take a look at that interview. Mr. Trump, will you attack Iran for Israel after January 20th? He's got a lot of neocon pro-Zionist advisors and foreign policy folks, just as he did in 2020 and in 2016. 5 years later, we are reminded of Mr. Trump's role in the Soleimani assassination. You can reread what I said to the Tasnim news agency of Iran 5 years ago on that subject, as we now enter a new period of time where Mr. Trump is going to get a second chance. To do what? We don't really know. But between Iran and Netanyahu and Trump and Kellogg thinking they're going to get a quote-unquote deal out of Putin and Lavrov, this ought to be a very, very interesting and quite turbulent and dangerous time in history. Jimmy Carter's legacy. It's a very mixed legacy. If you're talking to anyone who is old enough to remember, Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski and George Ball during the Iranian crisis of 78-79, we have some reminiscences about that and some reminders that Jimmy Carter was first and foremost the handpicked choice of David Rockefeller and the Trilateral Commission to receive the Democratic nomination for the presidency in 1976 and ultimately to get elected. Those were very turbulent years in Mr. Carter's one term. He largely left office on a rail after he was buried by Ronald Reagan, but he's now being rehabilitated today. Some of that legacy as a humanitarian after he left the presidency, I think, is legitimate. The notion that we can revisit the Carter presidency itself and see it largely as a positive now, I don't buy it. The other thing about Jimmy Carter, which cements his legacy in globo homo history, is that Jimmy Carter was a cultural Marxist. How does a devout Southern Baptist support abortion on demand and Roe versus Wade? How does a devout Southern Baptist support LGBTQ across the board and gay marriage? How does a Southern Baptist, a devout one, vote for a ticket in this past presidential election cycle who was in favor of transgender surgery for minors and for prisoners and for people who clearly were going to be on the federal government dole in regard to receiving money for that kind of a procedure? Doesn't make a lot of sense, but don't bet on mainstream media analyzing Jimmy Carter from a more complicated, paradoxical perspective. And, of course, in regard to Mr. Carter himself, I think he was a decent but terribly misguided man who did a lot of damage to the United States in the 1970s, leading up to his loss in the 1980 election to Ronald Reagan. He also did a lot of damage, in my view, to biblical Christianity based upon the fact that he was so effective in bringing cultural Marxism into greater and greater acceptance among Protestant evangelicals who clearly should know better. So that's my take on Jimmy Carter. Let's go on then to the topics of the day. Russia, Ukraine, I posted something from South Front. Top 10 military events of the Ukrainian conflict in 2024. I hope you read it. Syria, Middle East Eye, Syria War, Inside the World of HTS leader Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, who I guess is now touting himself under a different name. Al-Sharaa, I think, is his current moniker. But the HTS organization is clearly al-Nusra, which prior to that was known as al-Qaeda. And yet Western mainstream media and these American Zionists and neocons are trying to say that this is a great thing, that the Assad regime was overthrown. Take a look at all the atrocities presently going on in that country, including carpet bombing by Israel, the United States sneaking into Aleppo to build a military base there, the Americans trying to referee the ongoing conflict and controversy between the Kurds and the American support for the Kurds in northeast Syria, and one fellow by the name of Erdogan, who wants to bring Pan-Turkism and his own version of the Ottoman Empire back into play as it relates to Syria. What does this translate into? A real mess. But the Russians, I think, are smart enough not to have gotten themselves embroiled in this. They're too busy building their own new military base or two in Libya. And they will live to fight another day, even as Israel and the United States and Erdogan may well regret the time when they decided to continue with this obvious project of Wesley Clark and others to destabilize the Middle East entirely and to use Sunni Wahhabic extremists to do it. Which brings us, of course, to this whole question then of Vegas and New Orleans, or New Orleans and Vegas. We're told by the FBI that this was a one-man operation in terms of New Orleans. The immediate suggestion is that the Vegas incident was a one-man operation, and yet these two individuals, both American citizens, both with U.S. Army backgrounds, one of the two is heavily linked to Ukraine and to the Banderite movement in Ukraine on the basis of a T-shirt he was wearing that has now appeared in Newsweek magazine, courtesy of the suspect's wife. Now we're learning from Geopolitics Live and something that I might have managed to get out just before we came on the air, which talks about a particular U.S. Army outfit that has been doing a lot of training of Zelensky's people in Ukraine. And it's an outfit that the suspect in the Vegas bombing was a member of. And the indication is that he was in Ukraine on more than one in more than one instance. Another fascinating thing here is that both in the case of the suspect in New Orleans and in Vegas, both of them link up with the same U.S. Army base at various times, meaning Fort Bragg. What does all of this mean? It means exactly what Sonar 21 and ex-CIA analyst Larry Johnson tells us, and that's that the official American investigatory story on this doesn't really add up. We can say that much at a minimum, and call me a conspiracy theorist if you will, but I think this whole thing smells. Is it an attempt on the part of the American deep state to destabilize things before the Trump inauguration? That's been suggested by a lot of people. I don't know, but certainly the official story on these events, both in New Orleans and in Vegas, with the profiles of these two suspects, starts to smell like Lee Harvey Oswald is the lone gunman in the assassination of John Kennedy, according to the Warren Commission. Would the FBI ever lie to us? Yes. They lied to us about Hunter Biden's laptop in the New York Post story. They said that was Russian disinformation before the election of Joe Biden in 2020. All kinds of people in the deep state are known to lie on numerous occasions. They're in the lying business when it comes to their larger New World Order agenda. Don't believe, in my view, on a prima facie basis anyway, anything that the American media and the American federal agencies tell you and me about these incidents, tragic incidents of these last several days. Now, having said that, there's one other thing I wanted to say about Syria, and that is that this story that Press TV ran on the Syrian Emergency Task Force, or SETF, That story plays into my conversation of 52 or 58 minutes, or 52 minutes, I think, with our Iranian journalist on New Year's Eve. Take a look at that story, because you'll see all of the links in that one article to the real players in Syria that are trying to reinvent the alleged leader of that country now and who and what he represents. And it goes all the way back to this individual with John McCain. Remember John Wetstart McCain? Goes all the way back to an Israeli NGO known as Amaziah. It goes all the way back to other CIA and Mossad fronts and fronts for the British MI6, like the White Helmets. Remember them? Remember the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights? Remember the Libyan National Transitional Council? At the time of Muammar Gaddafi's deposition and subsequent murder, this fellow who is now allegedly running Syria with HTS plays a major role in this CIA front known as the Libyan National Transitional Council. So we'll take a good look at that story, excuse me, and you'll find very quickly that the kinds of people who are lying to us about what the American intelligence and Israeli intelligence role and the role of Erdogan have been in Syria are the same kinds of people who tend to lie to us about these events in New Orleans and these events in Vegas. Enough said about that particular story. Let's see. We come through to Donald Trump 5 years later. I have reposted on our roadmap the story of Donald Trump 5 years ago with his pivotal role in the assassination of General Soleimani, which Mr. Trump took public credit for. We have posted a reminder to us on the career of General Soleimani, put there by Geopolitics Live, my interview with Tasnim News Agency 5 years ago on the Soleimani assassination is there. Enough said. I've already mentioned Jimmy Carter. We'll skip old Jimbo for a moment, and we'll go to Germany. You know, we are hearing from a lot of different sources about the rise of the Alternative für Deutschland, or Alternative for Germany Party, AfD, and one Alice Weidel, who is now the head of AfD. We have been hearing from the Duran just in the last day or two that she's really on a surge in terms of her popularity in the polls in Germany and the AfD party itself, subsequent especially to the Christmas attack in the Magdeburg Christmas market in Germany that tragically took place some days ago. It has been linked to a Saudi Arabian doctor who was apparently a Wahhabic kook, as near as I can tell. But with all of this talk about AfD, I want to emphasize to our listeners that we need to be careful about this Alice Weidel character. Why? Well, it has come out, and I thank John DeNugent, my old pal, who has turned up again on in Via Contacta, where we've been connected again after quite a number of years. John DeNugent posts something from an individual by the name of Hans Jörg Müller, ex-AfD. He has left Germany, apparently, and is now in exile in Russia. He tells us that Alice Weidel was an economist for Goldman Sachs, and we are reminded by Mr. Mueller that Alice Weidel is a lesbian mother of two who lives with a Sri Lankan partner. Now, does that necessarily mean that the woman is totally worthless in terms of being an alternative, she and her party, to what is going on with Scholz on the one hand, and what's likely to be going on with Mr. Merz at some point in the near-term future? Not necessarily, but we need to be careful, folks. And I'm an expert not on German politics, but on a Zionist neocon LGBTQ infiltration of the Republican Party. in the way in which the Zionist and neocon element has managed to find its way into the infiltration of all kinds of previous populist movements in the American right that looked promising in the beginning, that later came to little fruition. I'm thinking of pro-Zionist Howard Phillips of the Constitution Party, no longer with us. Howard and I were friends for years, and that's a long story, but as it turns out, Howard Phillips and his conservative caucus had very close personal ties and friendships with some interesting folks, including Benjamin Netanyahu and many of the members of the Israeli Knesset. And then, of course, we can turn to an interesting situation that developed in the Constitution Party in 2008 when Jerome Corsi, the neocon author of Atomic Iran, subsequently was being pushed by Mr. Phillips to be the next presidential nominee of the Constitution Party. You can read between the lines on that one, can't you? And then, of course, the Tea Party, which all of a sudden began to have many activists in its midst who were saying all kinds of things that would suggest that maybe they weren't as populist, maybe they weren't as nationalist in their orientation as they would lead us to believe. This is why I want to keep an eye on Alice Weidel of the Alternative for Deutschland, because this Hans-Jörg Müller, ex-AfD, now living in exile in Russia, warns us in an article that John DeNugent sent to me in the German language, which took me a little time to translate, that suggests that she could be a big-time fraud and a big-time infiltrator of the German nationalist and populist movement in that country. Keep an eye on Meloni of Italy. Mr. Mueller tells us that you can start comparing Meloni to Alice Weidel in some respects, saying that maybe Ms. Meloni is not the nationalist and populist that she was campaigning as when she was elected to the prime ministership of Italy. Well, let's see here. We have an article under the category of what awaits us in 2025. Qatahan, Alexander Dugin, and the fire of the big war in the Middle East. This plays into some of my earlier comments on this broadcast about Donald Trump. That is an excellent piece by Mr. Dugin. Comes to us virtue of the Russian-oriented Qatahan news service, which has a wonderful English language translation department that, along with geopolitica.ru, keeps those of us who do not speak or read Russian in the know on what's really going on. We will be back with Dr. Patrick Slattery. This is Mark Dankoff on RBN Live on this January 3rd from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to, and make the world go away.
We're back. You're listening to the Dankoff Report on this Friday, January the 3rd in the new year 2025. In just a second, I'm going to bring Patrick Slattery up to give us his slant on anything that he wishes to discuss. I'm apologizing a little bit for my voice today. I have been battling this mountain cedar fever here in South Texas for a number of days, but I figured I owed it to you to jump back in here in the new year and to get going with some broadcasts and to have some good guests, which is what we will have in about a minute here. I just wanted to mention a very, very important thing in our roadmap. Take a look at this Jewish Telegraphic Agency, what I call their beef with the truth. The title of their article is Vladimir Putin accuses quote-unquote ethnic Jews of tearing apart the Russian Orthodox Church. Of course, they accuse Mr. Putin of anti-Semitism. Mr. Putin is telling the truth, folks. Anyone who is aware of what is going on in Zelensky's persecution of the Russian Orthodox Church and precisely how virulent it is, we'll understand not only that Mr. Putin is telling the truth, but I have posted, going back exactly 1 year ago, my own article on Jamie Raskin and his jihad and the coming of World War III. You may recall that Jamie Raskin is an ultra-leftist Democrat congressman from the 8th Congressional District in Maryland, who has openly stated that the Ukrainian war and the destruction of the traditional values of the Russian Orthodox Church are at the center of why Mr. Raskin, like so many Democrats of his persuasion, supports Zelensky's jihad, and Zelensky's jihad not simply against Putin's Russia, but specifically against the Russian Orthodox Church. And that this is absolutely factual. It's beyond any plausible deniability. So the Jewish Telegraphic Agency is once again tap dancing around the obvious truth. Why the linkage between Zelensky's government and not only all of these key Jewish neoconservatives in the United States, but the LGBTQ movement globally? It's a dagger aimed at the throat, not simply of Vladimir Putin and the Russian Orthodox Church, but at Christians worldwide. Take that, Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Got three good articles in the history department for you. And now we jump in with Dr. Patrick Slattery. Patrick, are you still there from wherever you are?
From wherever I am. Yes, I am here.
Well, what do you think about
Burbank, California.
What's that?
A near beautiful downtown Burbank. I've strolled outside, and I'm in a nice area just outside beautiful downtown Burbank.
What are you doing out there? Or can you say?
Oh, I'm meeting people. Actually, I had lunch yesterday with Don Advo. So Don Advo of Stormfront Radio, and we'll get him back on the air. He'll join my show sometimes whenever he has anything he wants to talk about. So I've been thinking. Well, first of all, today is exactly the fifth anniversary of the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani, may he rest in peace, it was ordered by Donald Trump, and he brags about it. This is a bad look for him. It's a retarded thing to do. This is a massive stain on his reputation, on his legacy, and yet he brags about it at his rallies. I've seen him brag about it at Booth. This is not something he should be bragging about. And the fact that he's still bragging about it 5 years later doesn't necessarily portend well for a Trump policy towards Iran.
Exactly.
I mean, you never know with Donald Trump, because he spoke extremely aggressively about North Korea and about whom I refer to as the adorable leader. You know, you had the great leader and the dear leader, Kim Jong-un. Paul Stevenson and I refer to him as the adorable leader because he's just so adorable. but then Trump made friends with him and said that they fell in love. I saw him say that at a rally. He said, "We fell in love." And so you never know with Donald Trump. He's mercurial. You don't know. But you do know who's not mercurial is Marco Rubio, who will be Secretary of State, and he's got a steadfast history of being super pro-Zionist, anti-Iranian, anti-Chinese. I keep forgetting the guy's name, who's going to be Secretary of Defense.
I've been trying to forget his name.
Matt Sakeh.
He's even in with the Temple Mount crowd in Israel. That's how bad that nomination is.
Yeah, and maybe instead of sale.
Well, Eddie Arnold is rescuing us from this depressing state of affairs only for a minute. When we come back, I'll let Patrick Slattery continue with his situation with Pete Hegseth, Marco Rubio, the Soleimani assassination. What does this mean as Donald Trump dives into a second term in less than 2 weeks? We'll be back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem. pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
That old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw.
Yippee-yay.
We are back. You've been listening to Eddie Arnold with a very, very aged but nonetheless terrific recording of Ghost Riders in the Sky. And that's off of one of his two best Western albums of the distant past. It's available, I'm sure you'll find it on YouTube. The great Eddie Arnold, Ghost Riders in the Sky. We are back with Dr. Patrick Slattery. And again, I just wanted to mention that conversation I had with this very fine young Iranian journalist, this young lady, whose name is Marzieh Kazemi, I think is probably how she would pronounce her last name. It's an excellent conversation on Syria with reference to the Press TV story on the Syrian Emergency Task Force. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot of this young woman in the future on some of the bigger Iranian press outlets, including Press TV. Imagine that you'll start seeing her with the Islamic Republic of Iran News Network, I would imagine, and certainly Tasnim and Fars and all of the other agencies of that country that give us some very, very fine offerings in the English language that I have looked at for many, many years. Patrick, we are back discussing Donald Trump and the Soleimani assassination and the implications of this 5 years later. And we got into some of these picks for Trump in the National Security Division. It's starting to look like he's finding people as bad as Mike Pompeo and John Bolton. He must have had to really hunt for them.
Well, I want to go back just briefly to you mentioned this journalist, and her last name's Kazemi.
Yes.
And if that's spelled with a Q or a KH, of course, Soleimani's name was Kazem or Hazem. So, you know, there's some sort of connection there.
Interesting.
And he was this, and whenever I'm talking about how the decade that we're in, the 2020s, how badly they suck, I always start off with the assassination of General Soleimani, because that happened on the 3rd of January. So we're in this brand new decade, and all of a sudden Donald Trump assassinates General Soleimani. And then a few days later, I get this picture sent to me from Andy Hitchcock, and it's got a guy, apparently dead guy, lying in the street in Wuhan, China. And then you get a whole corona apocalypse, and it goes into the Black Lives Matter and the fake election and on and on and on, and how badly this decade has sucked. And here we are. Now we're in the second half of the decade. You know, if if you measure it from the 20s, if you're talking about the 20s. And then it occurred to me, wow, actually, we're a quarter of the way through the century known as the 2000s. I mean, technically, that's not exactly the same as the 21st century because, you know, if you're talking about the year of our Lord, it started on year one. It didn't start year zero. But we're a quarter of the way through this century of the 2000s, a quarter of the way through. And does that really – I don't know. It's been a while. Well, who's the most significant person so far this century? It's certainly Vladimir Putin. You look at what he's done.
Agreed.
State Russia was in when he became it was on the eve of this of 2000. I think it was New Year's Eve that he became acting president, and he's led that country ever since, either as acting president, mostly as president, or sometimes as prime minister. And it's, you know, they've made massive progress for their own people, but also the becoming along with China the center of the BRICS, and the BRICS are establishing. And I've heard one analyst refer to it not as an anti-NATO or an anti-U.S. coalition, but a coalition that bypasses the U.S. It bypasses U.S./Zionist/Jewish dominated institutions, sets up alternatives.
Exactly.
And yeah, this is extremely significant. Then getting back to the Trump administration, a lot of bad picks. Tulsi Gabbard, the one person that we might have hope for, and that is the only reason I wound up voting for Donald Trump. I was going to vote for Jill Stein. I had endorsed her. I spoke with her. I told her I was going to vote for her. And we had a short but interesting discussion. So maybe we'll get into that at some point. But I wound up voting for Trump because at the last day I saw the rally and his last rally, and Tulsi Gabbard got up and she just talked sensibly. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give her a chance. I'm not really voting for Trump. I'm voting for Tulsi Gabbard. And if you recall, 8 years ago and a month or two, we, back in late 2016, after Trump's first election, we were calling on Trump to appoint her as Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State. They had actually had a meeting. It would have been a really inspired pick. At the time, she was considered a progressive Democrat. It would have been a good pick for him. And of course, she is now being criticized by the Jewish establishment for having condemned, for having called the assassination of Soleimani. Did she call it a war crime or an international crime? But she called it a criminal act.
It's a criminal act without question, undertaken deliberately and publicly and proudly by the then president of the United States at the behest of his Zionist advisors and at the behest of Benjamin Netanyahu. That's what it was. That's what it is. And it seems to me 5 years later, I'm glad I gave Tasnim News Agency of Iran my honest thoughts on this 5 years ago, because with what I see happening with these Trump foreign policy picks, Patrick, I think there are two things that come up. One, and I said it 5 years ago to my wife after I gave Tasnim News Agency that interview, I said, you know, this is a heinous, brutal, illegal, unconstitutional war crime committed by the president of the United States, a Republican president, at the behest of these Zionist forces. That's exactly what it is. And I told her then, I said, the blowback from this is probably in perpetuity. I said, I think that this is so heinous that it will make the blowback from Operation Ajax in 1953 look tame by comparison. The other thing, getting back to what you've observed about Tulsi Gabbard, as near as I can tell, and I think Dr. Philip Giraldi, with his article in the UNS Review about Tulsi Gabbard, would say that she stands out as the sole pick that comes to his mind and mine, at least, and I think to yours, the sole choice that has any redeeming value whatsoever in regard to the foreign policy and national security team that Trump has put together, which is almost otherwise exclusively occupied by the most extreme elements in the pro-Zionist crowd and the GOP. And they, I guess the question has to be for you, can Gabbard possibly get the ear of Donald Trump and turn him away from the worst advice of these advisors and some of Trump's worst instincts? Can she be that influential in trying to stop what obviously the neocons are trying to put together with Trump?
Yeah, and I'd say maybe, but probably not. She could turn out just to be a dud, somebody who's not willing to, who's maybe too concerned about her own political future and is going to compromise way too much on a lot of issues that had been matters of principle to her before. That's a possibility. Or it could be a possibility that she does her level best. And her main – she doesn't have a powerful position, but it's an influential position. So she can't make things happen, but will have Donald Trump's ear every morning when she's briefing him. And so potentially, because Donald Trump does have the tendency to take the position of the last person he spoke to, and she will often be the last person he's spoken to, so potentially she might have some influence. What I will say, there's two things I want to say. One is that if anything good happens out of Trump's foreign policy, I think you can be pretty sure that it's due to Tulsi Gabbard and Tulsi Gabbard alone, really. At this point,
I believe maybe that
some
too.
Other decent people. Yeah. And the other thing, I want, you know, so like I say, maybe this will turn, she'll turn out to be a dud, but I do want to take some credit, you and myself and Dr. Duke and Eric Stryker, who used to come on my show back in late 2016. We were all pushing for Tulsi Gabbard to have a foreign policy role in the first Trump administration. And I think it's not just that – I'm not just saying that we were right, and maybe at this point, maybe Eric Stryker would even disavow her. But I think to have people – and, of course, David Duke, even more so 8 years ago, had a very high profile. And I think to have people like us come out and praise – Tulsi Gabbard, who at the time was in the left wing of the Democratic Party, I think this really it may well have gone a long way to making her acceptable to conservatives. You know, she eventually started getting on Tucker Carlson's show as a guest, and so I do want to take some credit for that. I mean, you know, we work really, really hard, and I think that, you know, maybe we have nothing to do with it, but I think it really made her a lot more palatable to people. You know, people at Tucker Carlson's show, for instance, they were definitely following what was going on David Duke's show. They were also following what was going on at Daily Stormer. And Eric Stryker at the time was writing for the Daily Stormer. And and Tucker Carlson played a role in normalizing her or making her palatable to the Trump's base. I just want to take a little bit of a bow at you and
we'll see what happens.
I don't know Oh, but you know, also, you have been talking a lot about Robert F. Kennedy a year or more ago, maybe a couple of years ago, and he's going to be hopefully, if he's confirmed, the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And, you know, I don't really expect a whole lot out of this administration, but one area could be in the field of health, partly, you know, reorienting us towards a healthier, more preventative lifestyle and healthcare system, but also in investigating the whole corona apocalypse disaster, and to the extent you got some truth and daylight on what what happened, what transpired with these horrible policies, it could really provoke a lot of political reexamination amongst a lot of people. It could wind up being a big deal. What do you think about that?
I think that's entirely possible as I continue to follow from responsible alternative news sources the things that are coming out about the this so-called, what is it, the DNA in the
mRNA,
thank you. The mRNA in these Pfizer vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccines. I saw one report from a reputable source today. Don't remember it only because of the number of news sources I consult before I get on the air with you. And it was talking about the fact that there is one study that suggests that there's something like 450 times the amount of mRNA in these COVID-19 vaccines than what is deemed to be safe. And I'll try to find that article, maybe get it on the roadmap after the fact. But Kennedy could be a major factor for good in this administration. So I basically support the position that Mr. Trump has appointed him to. Getting rid of Admiral Rachel Levine is another positive for the Trump administration, just in terms of making it disappear. And then, of course, we have Gabbard. But in the meantime, as you start looking at the foreign policy, I'm extremely concerned about this issue of Trump and Israel 5 years after the Soleimani assassination. Let me ask you, Dr. Slattery, in terms of Russia, do Trump and Kellogg play, or will they play, any sort of positive role in getting a legitimate settlement on this issue of the Russian-Ukrainian war? Or are they offering Putin and the Russians a lot of tired solutions that are non-solutions, more of the same coming from the West, that ultimately Putin and Lavrov and the Russian national security people are simply going to privately laugh at, I assume, as just being unacceptable right off the bat? What about this General Kellogg? What about Russia and Ukraine? Should Trump simply keep his mouth shut and allow Putin to finish this thing? What's your take on it, and what's likely to be the outcome of this year?
My understanding about Kellogg is that he's been duped about the situation over there. He seems to believe that there's been 600,000 Russian troops killed, and which is complete fantasy. It's probably more like 100,000, which is a lot, but it's not draining the Russians. The Russians have plenty of recruits, people who are signing up, volunteering to fight. This is almost certainly going to end. It's going to be finished on the battlefield. The big question is, when do the Ukrainians give up? There's really not much left to negotiate. The Russian ambassador to the UN made the point, which really echoes the point that we've been making for the past almost 3 years now, that when the Ukrainians are finally going to start negotiating, okay, well, where is the line of contact going to be? Today, the line of contact, right, the front, is a lot farther to the east than it will be a month from now or 2 months from now. So the longer this goes on, once the negotiations start, and there's really, I mean, what is there to negotiate? Russia has been very clear. Ukraine has to be neutral. It has to be constitutionally neutral. They're not going to accept some sort of interim ceasefire. This has to be a final settlement. And the longer this goes on, the longer Ukraine fights, the more they lose. And that's really the only question. So for Trump, he's not in a position to impose anything on the Russians. So the only positive role he can play is just to tell the Ukrainians, look, I'm not giving you any more weapons. We're not going to help you fight anymore. The more you fight, the more you lose. so why don't you stop losing? That's the most positive thing he can do. It's not as if he can – he doesn't have any bargaining leverage with the Russians. You know, he could talk about maybe easing up sanctions, but the Russians have done – they flourished under the sanctions. The sanctions, not just the ones from the past 2 years, but the ones going back to 2014 or even 2008 – It's just made Russia stronger because Russia,
exactly.
Putin realized he had to sanction-proof the economy. They had to become a lot more self-reliant and less dependent on the West, and they've done that.
Exactly. So when you start looking at the real causes of this war and the illegal American EU coup d'etat in Kiev in 2014 and the Victoria Nulands of the world, you start looking at the total lack of faith of the West on the basis of Minsk I and Minsk II, and subsequently the tentative Istanbul Agreement in 2022 that would have ended this conflict. It's quite clear that it's not only a conflict largely the fault, in my view, of the West and the United States in particular, and these Zionist neoconservatives that I do believe are behind this effort aimed at Putin's Russia. But then you look at the situation. You've already identified it, Patrick. The way in which this war has fueled the de-dollarization of the global economy in a way that I don't think can be stopped at this particular point. You look at the way that the Russian economy has flourished. You look at the way that the Russian military, in my view, is stronger than it's ever been since Vladimir Putin took over in 2000. And really, when you look at the Russian-Chinese alliance as a part of this, the role that both of those countries may well play in terms of strengthening Iran's hand in this mess with Netanyahu. And again, as you point out, when you look at this thing militarily and look at the advance of the Russians in Pokrovsk and in Kharkovo, they are gaining kilometers of territory by the day, folks, in a westward advancement in the center of the line of conflict. Zelensky's catastrophic authorization of this June 2023 counteroffensive that resulted in the what I argue are presently the disastrous circumstances of the Ukrainian military and their position vis-a-vis Putin's Russia. And then look at the Kursk region. I mean, this idiotic incursion into the Kursk region of Russia by the Ukrainians, it has cost them some 45 to 46,000 men just in that circumstance alone, not to mention the hundreds of losses in armor and artillery and infantry fighting vehicles and so forth and so on. This thing is over, folks. It's not a question of whether or not the Ukrainians can hold. The longer this goes on, the more Ukrainian innocents die, the more Russians take of territory to the West. And in the end game, it seems to me that on the 20th of January, Mr. Trump needs to pick up the telephone to tell Zelensky that he better get the first flight to Miami because this thing is the United States is going to pull the plug on this entire catastrophe. That's to me the best thing that can happen out of it.
Yeah, throw in the towel. That's a metaphor. I watch boxing and I watch martial arts, mixed martial arts from time to time, and sometimes you see a fighter just being destroyed, and you want, there's no way he's going to win, and you just want the corner to throw in the towel, because if they don't throw in the towel, sometimes the fighter dies, right? I mean, we've had deaths in the ring, and this
I actually witnessed one.
Did you?
When I was 17, actually, I was not yet 17 years old. I turned 17 about a month after I saw this. It was in June 1972. I was with my dad in Bangkok during the Vietnam War. He had some time off, and we're in this Thai sports arena watching the Thai boxing. And I saw a man brutally beaten in the ring that night. And the final flourish, as he didn't even know where he was a kick to the temple. And sadly enough, out of all of that horrific barbarism that just made me sick to my stomach, the next day I read in the English language newspaper in Bangkok that the man had died. And it seems to me that this is about where it is in terms of the Ukrainian situation. How many more innocent Ukrainians can Volodymyr Zelensky, in effect, send to their deaths for absolutely no viable political or economic or military reason? It's heinous, and it's something that as of the 20th of January, Mr. Trump needs to tell Zelensky that the best thing he can offer him is a one-way ticket out of the country and to just disappear.
You know, John Kerry, before he was a senator, before he was a big shot, as a young man, he was speaking before some sort of congressional panel, and he said, nobody wants to be the last man to die for a lost cause. Where the hell is he today? Right? I mean, I'm sure he's been supporting this war.
Yeah, and I understand that his son was one of the people that we didn't get the publicity that Hunter Biden's activities in Ukraine got after the coup d'etat. But as I recall, and if I'm wrong on this, I'll stand corrected. But I believe that John Kerry, the one of his kids, was making some dough over there in Ukraine after the coup d'etat. So, and I try to remember there were some other prominent Democrats making a few bucks out of it as well. We have come to the end of the hour on the Dankoff Report, folks, on this January 3rd in the new year. Wanted to thank Dr. Patrick Slattery for being on with me in this last hour. Take a look at the entire roadmap. We've got a good one up there for you. And again, in terms of the infiltration of populist and national movements, both in Western Europe and in the United States, keep an eye on this Alice Weidel of the Alternative for Deutschland. And the warnings of one Hans-Jörg Müller, now in exile in Russia. Who knows, maybe Dr. Slattery and I will join him before it's all over. See you next week. God bless.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.